Morning, today's up in Erevin is Yud. We are in the bottom of Testament Beis. And picking it up from where we left off yesterday, the topic of discussion over the course of today is going to be Erevin v'chutz v'shava b'bifnim. So just as a brief introduction to today's daf, we know that in order to carry within a mavui, so it has to be adjusted. The mavui itself is a reshus yachid, and despite the fact that it is a reshus yachid, circled by three walls, nevertheless, it has to be adjusted on that fourth wall in order to be carried within the mavui. This is a topic that goes all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Now, for a week and a half, we've been discussing this basic idea. The adjustment of a mavui comes in one of two ways, either with a lechi or a korah. Korah is a horizontal beam that goes across the entrance, or a lechi is a vertical pole that goes on the side. We're going to be discussing today the vertical pole, and notably the vertical pole that was put on the side. You only need one lechi in order to be misaki, in order to adjust the mavui, in order for this to happen. So it has to be recognizable. Recognizable to whom? So this is going to be our discussion over the course of today's daf. And this is the topic of nir b'chutz v'shav b'bifnim, meaning to say like as follows. If the lechi itself is put on the inside of the mavui, so that the people on the mavui could see the lechi, and it's clearly recognizable to the people of the mavui, so that's textbook. That's perfect. That's exactly what the chachamim wanted. That's nir b'bifnim v'shav b'chutz. It can be seen from the inside, and it can't be seen from the outside. But that's fine. That's perfect. What, on the other hand, is if the lechi is placed in a manner in which it's recognizable to people who are outside the mavui, meaning people who are in the Rishus Rabbim can easily discern the lechi, but the people inside the mavui cannot really see the lechi. And there are many different ways that this can be done. Yesterday in the Gemara, we went through a couple of ways that this can present itself. The easiest way to describe this is that the lechi is just simply put on the exterior wall of the mavui, meaning it's on the outside of the wall of the mavui where you're standing outside and it's easily recognizable, but you can't see it from the inside. And this is nira mibifnim v'shava mibachutz. So and the inside's nira mibifnim. Sorry, it's nira mibachutz and shava mibifnim. Shavu mibifnim means that it's equal on the inside. It's level on the inside. You can't see it from the inside, but nira mibachutz. But standing outside, you can see it. So is this going to be a valid lechi? Open for a debate. The Gemara presents two positions on the matter. Yesterday we noted it's machlokus between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. Rabbi Chiya was of the position that was not perfectly clear when the Gemara originally presented it, but eventually the Gemara pointed out that Rabbi Chiya is of the position that nira mibachutz v'shavim bifnim is in fact going to be considered a valid lechi. And the Gemara now is going to pick it up where we left off yesterday in this discussion. So Amar Rava bar Rav Huna. So nir b'chutz v'shavim bifnim nida mishum lechi. We are in Testament Beis. We are, say, about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. So it starts with the words Amar Rava bar Rav Huna. Just to locate us, the last word in the line is Amar. So Amar Rava bar Rav Huna, nir b'chutz v'shav b'bifnim nida mishum lechi. Okay, so we start off with a statement of Rava bar Rav Huna that if the lechi is discernible only from the outside, it is going to be a valid lechi. So Amar Rava umosvina shmaita. Now Rava says, now, as far as looking at Mishnayos, that is either going to definitively prove or disprove this. So he says, I have a Mishnah. Now this Mishnah we've already quoted once, we're going to quote again. And this Mishnah is going to get a lot of playtime here in our Masechta. And that's the following. Chatzer Katana, Shinifritza L'Gadola. So let's say I have two adjoining Chatzeros. One is larger and the other one smaller. And the wall that separates them no longer is there. So, from the large Chatzer, basically what I'm looking at now is that you're encircled by four walls. Now, when I say four walls, I mean that you can actually see all four walls. Now, the opening to the smaller Chatzer, which is totally open, that's fine. Meaning, we're going to assume right now that the entrance or the distance between the width of the small chatzer is no greater than 10 amos. And then you have, of course, remaining walls on the side of that fourth wall. And so what you can easily do is just simply look at that small chatzer and view that opening is just simply a pesach. It's an entrance. And so from the large chatzer, you're encircled by four walls. What if you're in the small chatzer? So if you look around the small chatzer, if you situate yourself in the middle of the small chatzer, you're really circled by three walls. Because that fourth wall is open bimilu'o. It's open in its entirety. And what is the status of these chatzeros? So the Mishnah says, and we're going to read the Mishnah inside, Chatzar katana shenifritz la'gadola, gadola muteris ve'akatana asura. So you can carry within the chatzar ha'gadola, you cannot carry within the chatzar ha'katana. Mipnei shuhu kipischa shagadola. Because as far as the ability to carry within the large chatzar, you could do so because the entrance or the opening could just simply be viewed as the Pesach. Okay, now this is a mission that we're going to be seeing later on. Now we're going to put a lot of pieces of information together. Again, the whole reason why we're quoting this mission right now is to try to prove, or in this case, disprove the idea of Nira b'mechutz v'shav b'mifnim. The Emisa of the Gemara says now, if we actually subscribe to the idea of Nira b'mechutz v'shav b'mifnim, that a lechi that's discernible only from the outside is in fact going to be good lechi, so then the Gemara is going to make an argument, you should be able to carry within the small chatzar. So ketana nami tishtare. So it should be mutter to carry in the small chatzar. Why? Benir mibachos v'shav mibifnim. Because what I'm going to argue now is that there's actually walls flanking that fourth side of the small chatzar. Where are the walls? The walls are those two, let's call them pasim because that's what the Gemara is going to describe them. But they're basically the two flanking walls that bend to the outside. And it's true that from the inside of the chatzar you can't see them, but they're discernible from the outside. And so the Gemara now is going to argue that if I subscribe to the idea of nira mibachutz v'shav mibifnim, so we should have a fourth wall to this chatzar, and those are the two exterior walls. So Amar Rabbi Zeira b'michnasin mikol leketan gedola. So the Gemara now is going to create a scenario, and admittedly, it's going to be a little bit convoluted, but the Gemara is going to create a scenario in which we don't have to arrive at this conclusion. And so we're going to be doing a lot of adjusting over here, pun intended, in order not to arrive at that conclusion. So we first start off with a statement by Rabbi Zeira, and that is that, well, maybe the scenario over here is as follows. The smaller chatzar doesn't finish at the larger chatzar, but actually the walls go a little bit interior. Now, if you have a picture in front of you, it's going to be very helpful to see this. So that the walls go now a little bit interior into the bigger chatzar. So that means to say now that I no longer have the exterior walls. I don't have the pasim anymore. All I have are just simply the two walls of the interior chatzar going into the larger chatzar. And the Gemara says, once we have that, we lost our pasim. To which the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. V'lema lava v'tishare. Well, why don't we use the principle of Lavud? And right now the Gemara is assuming that the distance between the interior, the smaller chatzeros walls that are going into the larger chatzer are going to be not so far away from the actual side walls of the larger chatzer. And right now we're assuming that if that's true, it's just a small distance, so we have the principle of Lavud. And what does Lavud do? Lavud fills in the gap. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is, okay, so what we have now is, based on the principle of Lavud, is that we do have the side walls based on the principle of Lavud. Now, the Gemara over here is really suggesting something so interesting, and that is using a halachic principle of Lavud, which does halachically fill in the gaps, so that will now make up the pasim, those will make up the side posts that would be matir the chatzir. Now, I say it's interesting because you would think that the whole reason why there would be a need for a fourth wall is that we have easily discernible walls. Over here, they're not so discernible. Meaning, it's true that the walls are there halachically from the legal basis of Lavud creating walls, so they're there, but you don't see them. So it's interesting that the Gemara now is suggesting that based on principle of Lavud, we're actually going to have now the necessary lechim, the necessary pasim, so that one can now carry within the smaller chatzar. But the Gemara suggests it. And so the Gemara says, "V'lema lavud v'tishtari." So why don't we use the principle of lavud? V'chitema demethal getuva. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but here's what I could argue: we're not going to say lavud because the distance between the small chatzir and the large chatzir is too great, and we only say lavud only up to 3 tefachim, and we could just simply argue that it's more than 3 tefachim." The Gemara says, "I'll tell you why we have a problem arguing that, and that's based on a brisa." Vatani Rav Adabar Avime Kama de Rabbi Chanina. But the following Brisa was taught in front of Rabbi Chanina, and that is Ketana Be'aser Gedola Ba'achasasre. So here the Brisa actually gives the dimensions, meaning this Brisa is a supplemental to the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a scenario of a small chatzar and a large chatzar that are abutting one another, like we've been discussing. Here in the Brisa, we actually are going to give numbers. We're going to actually describe over here how big was a large chatzar and how small was a small chatzar. Big chatzar going across was 11 amos. Small chatzar going across was 10 amos. And now what the Gemara is arguing is that based on these numbers that are given, so we're going to now see. These numbers that were given were designed. It was specific. Why are we giving these specific numbers? Well, we're going to address that question in just a moment. But given that these are the numbers, so let's think about it now. So if I have an overage of the larger chatzar only being one amma greater than that of the smaller chatzar, so let's assume, right, we like symmetry. So let's assume now that the smaller chatzar is centered, its opening now is centered to that of the larger chatzar. Well, if it's centered, so how much room now, how much distance is there going to be from the wall of the smaller chatzar to the wall of the larger chatzar? Well, that's very easy. In other words, if it's centered, so there was only one amma overage, let's take that and split that into two. So one amma is in total six tfachim, broken down into two, that's three tfachim. And so what now I have is three tfachim on one side, three tfachim on the other side. Now we're going to assume that the width of the wall is going to take up some of those three tfachim, so that means to say that the distance between the exterior of the interior chatzar, of the smaller chatzar, and the interior of the and the interior of the larger chatzar is just going to be shy of three tfachim. That's lavud. Since that's lavud, so now we have filled in the gap, and now that we've filled in the gap, we have those pasim, we have those walls, those fourth walls for the interior chatzar. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that I can't carry in the interior chatzar, in the smaller chatzar. So now if I can't carry in the smaller chatzar, we have obviously now concluded that nira b'mechutz v'shavim b'fnim is just simply does not create a wall. So the Gemara says, so we now have a problem. Am Ravina v'mefalagim mekotozu b'shtayim u'mekotozu b'arba'a. So now what we're going to do is we're going to add another twist to this story, and that is Ravina, which is, we assume that the small chatzar was centered into the larger chatzar. Not necessarily. The small chatzar was off. It was shifted just one tefach off. And that means to say that now I have the small chatzar not in the direct center, just moved over a tefach. And so that means that on one side it's two tefachim, and on the other side it's four tefachim. So the Gemara says, okay, two tefachim on one side, four tefachim on the other, so at least we have lavud on one side. So the Gemara says, okay, we have lavud on one side. Isn't lavud on one side going to be sufficient? And the Gemara says, not necessarily, as now we turn to the top of Yudam and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Rebbe, he, dam Rebbe Inan, shnei pasin. So it's the Shita of Rebbe, which we're going to be seeing later in the Masechta. Rebbe's of the opinion that when dealing with a chatzar, not a mavui, but when dealing with a chatzar, in order to allow to carry within a chatzar that opens up into a reshus harabim, so the chatzar needs two pasim. It needs two lichayayim at its two sides. Now that's interesting because it's a little bit different than a mavui. A mavui only requires one lechi, and a chatzar that opens up requires two. Now we've already discussed this a number of times, that a lechi and mavui are really not that dissimilar from one another. They're both a rishasayachim. But as we discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, the mavui is slightly different. The mavui, functionally speaking, is an alleyway. It really is an egress for the people living in the house where they're going to go to their chatzar, or they're going to go to their mavui, and then eventually they're going to go into the Rishus HaRabim. The chatzar, from a functional standpoint, is something which is more used by people. It's not just simply a way of accessing to go in and out. And so because functionally the chatzar and the mavui have two different functions, so therefore what is required to quote-unquote adjust them is going to be slightly different. For the mavui to be adjusted, you only need one lechi. For a chatzar to be adjusted, you need two lechayayim on the two sides, at least according to the sheet of Rebbe. And we're going to be assuming right now, like the sheet of Rebbe, that I need two lechayayim. So if that's true, so now moving the smaller chatzar just slightly off center, and now having two on one side and four on the other side, so the reason why it's not going to be a good chatzar, why I can't carry within the small chatzar, is because I only have a lavud situation on one side, not on the other side. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, chatzar nitaris bepas echad, Rebbe omer b'shnei pasim. The machlok is between the Tanakam and Rebbe in terms of how many pasim are necessary in order to be matir the chatzar. Rebbe's of the position that you need two. We're going to be assuming like Rebbe. Okay, now, if we're going to put everything together, so now, basically what we've done is we created a really tough scenario. Meaning, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah describes a small chatzar, a large chatzar. They're abutting one another. They're open in its entirety from the perspective of the small chatzar. And the Mishnah says very clearly, I can carry in the large chatzar, I can't carry in the small chatzar. Now, in the small chatzar, there are actually lechayayim on the fourth wall. They just can only be seen from the outside, not from the inside. So seemingly what we have over here is a case of nirim mechutz v'shavim mibifnim. The lechi can be seen from the outside, not from the inside. And yet, the Mishnah says, I can't carry in the small chatzar. So it sounds very clear from this Mishnah that nirim mechutz v'shavim mibifnim is just simply not going to be considered walls. And this all presents a significant problem for Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya, as we concluded in yesterday's daf, is of the position that nirim mechutz v'shavim mibifnim is in fact going to be considered a mechitza. It's going to be considered a lechi. So all this presents a problem to him. And the way we've now circumvented the problem is by giving a lot of narration to this case. And the narration, basically what we're doing is we're putting three pieces of information together. We're putting a Rebbe Zera together with a Ravina together with a Rebbe. And just to quickly review, Rebbe Zera says that the walls of the small chatzar went and encroached into that of the large chatzar. And now that that's the case, so now we don't have the beams just simply going off to the side because it encroached and it went in a little bit. On top of that, before we get to the Rebbe Zera Ravina Rebbe combination, let's just first also know and assume that the case over here is 10-11. That the width of the large chaser is 11 amos and the width of the smaller chaser is 10 amos, which then presents the problem really strong. Meaning, so from the small chaser, I have now two posts that are readily discernible from the outside. Okay, now with that stated, so now we're going to throw in the combination of Rebbe Zera, Ravina, and Rebbe. And through this combination, putting together three positions, then and only then are we successful in defending Rebbe Chiya. That's a lot of work. Now, the three positions that we put together is one Rebbe Zera, where the walls of the small chatzar are actually going in interior into the large chatzar. Okay. Number two, we're going to have Ravina, that the small chatzar is not centered, but rather it's offset. So that means to say that it's two tvachim on one side, four tvachim on the other side. So for the two tvachim, obviously you do have lavud, and you do have one lechi, but you don't have it on the other side because four tvachim is just one tefach too large, and you don't have lavud on the other side. And we're going to subscribe to the Shita of Rebbe, which says that in order for a chatzar to be adjusted, it has to have a lechi on both sides. Okay. So with that stated, so now we have successfully defended Rebbe Chiya, but I say successful, keep in mind that it needed a lot of narration. It needed a position Rebbe Zera, a position Ravina, and a subscription to the position of Rebbe. Okay, so that's a lot in order to defend Rebbe Chiya. Haimai, the Gemara says, okay, but still, if you think about it, it's really, this is a tough defense that we're trying to sell over here. Because let's consider. The braisa that supplemented the Mishnah is that the large chatzar was 11 amos, the small chatzar is 10 amos. Those numbers are not just arbitrary numbers. Those numbers are clearly given in order to make a point. And what the Gemara now is going to argue is, well, what is the point that the braisa is telling us with the numbers 10 and 11? Obviously, it's a very specific point that the braisa is trying to teach us. And the Gemara says, consider. So if we're going to start with the assumption that a wall that can only be seen from the outside, a lechi that can only be seen from the outside, is in fact not going to be good lechi, so then I totally understand why the Braisa gives us the numbers 10 and 11. And Rebbe Sava like Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe's of the position of Rebbe Yossi, that in order for a side post to be effective lechi, when it comes to a chatzer, it needs three tfachim. Ude Rebbe Zera, Ude Ravina Leisa, and we don't subscribe to the positions of Rebbe Zera and Ravina. Let me just go back one point in the Gemara, meaning Rebbe Yossi, I kind of went over it like as if we all knew it, meaning we haven't seen really the position of Rebbe Yossi, that a lechi needs to be three tefachim. We're going to see it together later in this parak. But according to Rebbe Yossi, a lechi needs to have three tefachim. That's true both by a mavui, and it's true by a chatzar as well. And so right now we're assuming that we subscribe over here in this Mishnah, in this Braisa, to the Shita of Rebbe Yossi, that in order for a lechi to be effective, now remember, it's a chatzar. So instead of calling a lechi, I'll call it a pas, but it's basically the same idea. So if we assume that the author of this Mishnah and the Braisa is subscribing to Rebbe Yossi, that I need three tefachim of pasim, So then, and with the Rebbe Zera, the Ravina Lesa, and I don't have now the cases of Rebbe Zera and Ravina. Rebbe Zera says that the walls of the small chaser went into the large chaser, and Ravina says that it was centered. And Ravina says that it was not centered. Meaning, throw that away. Meaning, we're going to assume it's a standard case of a small chaser going opening up to a large chaser, and they're abutting one another. And so that means that the walls are just simply going to go from the small chaser. Both of them are going to make turns to go to the outside. And so now, Mishum Hachi Ketani Be'eser Gedola, I'm sorry, Ketani Be'eser Gedola Be'achazesrei. And now I understand very easily, very clearly, why the numbers 10 and 11. Meaning, because Mishum De Rebbe Sabel Lek Rebbe Yossi, because Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yossi. And to put this in terms, I think, that are going to be slightly easier to understand, meaning basically what the Gemara is getting is saying is, I get it. I get why the numbers 10 and 11. Because 10 and 11, we're just going to assume that this is a standard Chatzar Gedola Chatzar Ketana case. Really easy, really straightforward. Where the Chatzar Ketana opens up in totality to the Chatzar Gedola. And the walls are going to, they're meeting each other. So the walls of the smaller Chatzar are just simply now going to be making those exterior turns into the large Chatzar. And we're going to assume that symmetrical. And it's centered. And over here, the point is going to be a really simple point, which is that the reason why the large chatzar is mutter, let's focus right now on the large chatzar. The reason why the large chatzar is mutter is because on its fourth wall, what do I have? I have two side posts, and each one of them now measures three tefachim, and we subscribe to the position of Rebbe that I need two of them, and we subscribe to the position of Rebbe Yossi that each one of them has to be three tefachim. That's why the Braisa gives us the numbers 10 and 11. And then, why can't I carry in the small chatzar? The easiest conclusion, the simplest conclusion, because in the small chatzar, I simply don't have, I don't have side posts. What about the fact that nirabi b'chutz v'shava mifnim? Yeah, the author of this Mishnah, the author of the Braisa, subscribes to the idea that nirabi b'chutz v'shava mifnim are simply not walls. Okay, and that's it. Meaning that's the easiest way to explain the Mishnah and the Braisa. And so therefore, that's the easiest way. And the conclusion would therefore be that Nirim v'chutz v'shavim v'fnim are not going to be considered walls. Okay. That's the easy way to explain the Mishnah. But then, of course, the conclusion is that we don't subscribe to the Shita Rebbe Chiya. On the other hand, Ela'i amar Nirim v'chutz v'shavim v'fnim nida mishum lechi. So but let's go in the approach that we've been going for the majority of this morning, which is that if the lechi can be seen from the outside, not from the inside. And that, in fact, is a good lechi. So now, what are all the, how do we explain the Chatzar Gedola, Chatzar Ketana case? Ud de Rebbe Zera, Ud de Rebbe Ina Isa. So we need to give the complexity where the smaller Chatzar goes into the large Chatzar. And it's not centered, it's offset. And Rebbe lo sevela ka Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe does not subscribe to the Shita Rebbe Yossi. Meaning that for the side posts, they don't have to be three tefachim. They could be smaller than three tefachim. And Gedol ba'achadasre lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Look, we've been down this path before. But then, why the numbers 10 and 11? Meaning 10 and 11 right now are not specific to make any singular point. So, Gedol ba'achadasre lamali. What do you want to tell me? Well, I need the numbers 10 and 11 to teach me that I can carry in the large chaser. I don't need the numbers 10 and 11. So, the truth of the matter is, Gedol ba'achadasre lamali, miman avshach. Ila mishre gedola ka'ase. Look, over here there are two points made in this Mishnah. I can carry in the large chaser. I can't carry in the small chaser. So as far as the large chaser is concerned, so the Gemara says, well, I don't need the numbers. I don't need an excess of one amma be'eser u'shnei tefachim saga. 10 ammas and 2 tefachim are simply going to be sufficient. Meaning, what do I need in order to be able to carry in the large chaser? I need side posts. How big do they have to be? If we're not subscribing to the sheet of Rebbe Yossi, they could be any amount. If they could be any amount, and let's assume like Rebbe, then I need 2 side posts. Okay, so 2 side posts of any amount. And so, how about this? How about the small chaser is 10 amos, the large chaser is 10 amos and 2 tefachim. That's all I needed. I don't need an excess of 1 amma. And so the numbers 10 and 11 are not going to teach me anything regarding the large chaser. Oh, maybe it's there to teach me something about the small chaser. Now, the ilam misre l'ketana ka'ase, well, if it's there to teach me that I can't carry in the small chaser, so the Gemara says, okay, but again, the numbers 10 and 11 are not specific. They're not there to teach me anything. Le'ishmeinan demafal getuva. Well, why not just give me a scenario in which the distance between the small chaser and the large chaser is much greater than just simply one amma more? In other words, if the whole point over here is that I can't carry in the small chaser, well, if I can't carry in the small chaser, give me a number that's much greater. Meaning, let's say the small chaser is 10 amas, let's say the large chaser is 12 amas, 14 amas, 15 amas. And the reason why I cannot carry within the small chaser is because I don't have side posts. Why don't we say near b'chutz v'shav mibifnim? So again, so we go back to the Ravina Rav Zera combination. The small chatzar went into the large chatzar. And so therefore, I don't have side posts, not from the interior, not from the exterior. What about the fact that I have lavud? Oh, so for lavud, we'll just simply say, we don't even have to come on to lavud. We'll just simply say that the large chatzar is significantly larger. And so therefore, we don't even have lavud. Meaning, the numbers 10 and 11 are not teaching us anything specific regarding the small chatzar and the prohibition of carrying within the small chatzar. So Ella Lashma Minasa, the Gemara says, so when all said and done, 10 and 11 really works only if I subscribe to the idea of Nir Bechutz Veshav Mifnim is not going to be considered a wall. But once I subscribe to the idea of Nir Bechutz Veshav Mifnim is considered a wall, I really don't understand the numbers 10 and 11. So Ella Lashma Minasa, Nir Bechutz Veshav Mifnim, Eino Nido Mishum Lechim Shma Minasa. So the Gemara says, look, we're really going to have to go with what seems to be the easiest explanation of the Mishnah and the Braisa. And what seems to be the easiest conclusion, and that is that the side posts that can only be seen from the exterior, not from the interior, are simply do not function as a lechi, and that's the easiest way to explain it. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through really the hardest part of today's daf. It is definitely, it requires a concentration thought, right? Personally, I'm telling you, I spent a lot of time with this Gemara, putting it together. I have now some clarity on what just happened in the Gemara. The Gemara's conclusion right now is that if you have a lechi, if you have the side posts, which can only be seen from the outside, not from the inside, it sounds like from this Mishnah and from the Braisa and from the analysis that was just given, that it's simply not going to function, it's not going to work as a lechi. I'm Rav Yosef. So, lo shmia li hashmaitita. So, Rav Yosef says, you know, I don't remember any of this. Now, we know that, unfortunately, Rav Yosef, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he suffered a serious illness, lost his eyesight in the illness, and also lost much of his memory. And so what he did, and heroically, is he picked himself back up and he went and he learned everything again. And he learned from his Talmidim. And if you just imagine the amount of frustration that he experienced because the students that he ended up teaching went back to him and reviewed all that he himself taught. And so, okay, but nonetheless, but he did it. He got back up and he learned again. And so Rav Yosef over here comments that, I don't remember any of this. And Amalei Abayi, so Abayi says to him, Atni Amartni Halan, you're the one who taught us this information, the Amartni Halan, and it was in connection to the following that you taught us this information. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Lechi Amoshech, Im Defano Shel Mavui. Let's say I have a Lechi that extends, and it's basically going, it's going together with the wall of the Mavui. So Pachos Me Arba Amos, Nito Mishum Lechi. So if it's less than four amos, then we can view it as a lechi. And umishtamish imchudo hapnimi. And one can carry up to the inner edge, up to the lechi's inner edge, arba amos. But once it's four amos, nido mishum mavui. So then we're going to have to treat it itself as an independent mavui. Va'asa lishtamish bakulo. And I can't carry now in the entirety of the mavui because the mavui doesn't have a lechi. And the amar lan Allah. Now regarding this, this is what you added to this. Meaning this is what Abayi says to Rav Yosef. You added the following, Shema Min Atlas. Now, based on this, we can arrive at three conclusions. Now, before we get to the three conclusions of Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef now is being reminded of, that he himself concluded, let's go over the case a little more carefully. And again, over here, a picture would be tremendously helpful. So if you have any picture that you can look at to help you see this, so it would really be helpful. What we're looking at over here is basically a standard mavui, where the lechi is coming out of the third wall. And how do I say the lechi is coming out of the third wall? Meaning that the lechi is clearly differentiated from the wall. The wall is a certain thickness. The lechi is thinner. It's tapered. And so, and now when it's tapered, so it's either going out of the interior of that wall or the exterior of the wall. Well, this is exactly our discussion. In other words, if it's going on the interior, if it's tapered but only from the interior of the wall, so then it's Nira mi b'chutz. Well, if you're standing outside the mavui, it's easily discernible. If you're standing inside of the mavui, it just simply looks like more wall being extended. Or let's say it's tapered on the exterior. If it's tapered on the exterior, so it's easily discernible from the inside, not from the outside. That's nira mi bifnim v'shava mi bechutz. Either way, what is being taught over here in the name of Rav Huna is that it's fine. It works as a lechi. But with the following proviso, and that is that this lechi itself is not four amos. Now that obviously would be a long lechi. In fact, as Rav Yosef is about to teach us, if the lechi itself is too long, we can no longer view it as a lechi. It just simply does not qualify as a lechi if it's that long. And now we're going to get at the three conclusions of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that there are three things to learn from this scenario. Number one, Shema Mina, Bein Lechayayim Aser. Well, by virtue of the fact that Rav Huna taught us that you can carry up to the lechi, so that means you can't carry within the area of the lechi. A topic which was discussed extensively in yesterday's daf, and so Rav Yosef says, based on the statement of Rav Huna, it clearly is a conclusion that we could draw, that you can carry up to the lechi, but you can't carry within the area of the lechi. Number two, Shema Mina, Meshech Mavui Ba'arba. In terms of what is the minimum depth of a Mavui, something that we discussed also earlier in the Masechta, a debate whether it should be four Amos or four Tfachim. Well, it seems pretty clear over here that it's four Amos, because over here he says that once the lechi itself is four Amos, so now I can't look at it as a lechi because it itself qualifies as its own Mavui. And then the third conclusion is, you see, in Rav Huna's statement, it didn't matter which direction it was tapered in. It was tapered along the interior side or was tapered along the exterior side. And so it didn't matter to Rav Huna whether this lechi can be seen from the inside or it can only be seen from the outside. It still would operate as a good lechi. So the Gemara says, so for Rav Yosef says, so from Rav Huna, it's very clear that nira b'mechutz v'shav mibifnim is in fact going to be a good lechi. Now the Gemara says, v'hilchasa, now finally, we're going to conclude on this matter that's been discussed now for over a daf, and that is, nira b'mechutz v'shav mibifnim, nida mishum lechi. So the Gemara says that, yes, in fact, something get a lechi that can be seen from only the outside, not from the inside, is going to qualify as a lechi. Now the Gemara says, that's a really funny conclusion. To yufta v'hilchasa, meaning a good part of today's daf, right? For a little bit less than half of today's daf, we constructed an argument. We saw the Mishnah of Chatzar Gedolah, Chatzar Katana. We saw the Braisa where the numbers were given. The Chatzar Gedolah was 11 Amos and the Chatzar Katana was 10 Amos. Why specifically those numbers? And without recreating the entire argument, the conclusion is that the most plausible and the easiest way to explain the Braisa together with the numbers of 10 and 11 is that the conclusion has to be that Nirubim B'chutz V'shav Mifnim are not going to be considered side posts, and they're not going to operate as a lechi. That was the conclusion. And meanwhile, now the Gemara says, as far as halacha is concerned, we're going to be mekel. So the Gemara says, that's very strange. To yufta v'hilchasa? I don't understand. We asked a question, and we didn't really have a response. And now that you're telling me the halacha is that we're going to be mekel, so the Gemara says, in. So the Gemara says, yes, we're going to be mekel. It's mishum datni Rabbi Chia kavaseh, because Rabbi Chia, go back to yesterday's daf, so we had Rabbi Chia teaching a braisa that says that we're going to be mekel by nir mevechutz v'shav mevifnim. Now, admittedly, that doesn't really explain much. Meaning, the Gemara wonders, we had a Mishnah, we had a braisa of chatzar gedolah, chatzar katana, of 10 and 11, and it seems to be that the conclusion is that nir mevechutz v'shav mevifnim is simply not going to be considered a lechi. And the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Chia taught the following in a braisa, and another in a different braisa, so therefore we're going to conclude. It's kind of hard to understand really what the logic is, meaning how is this a convincing argument, other than the fact that Rabbi Chia said so, okay, but we have others who say differently. And in fact, we learned in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Shimon Berebi disagreed. Okay, so it's I'm not going to do a good job articulating why it is that we're concluding that we're going to be mekel, but that is the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is that we're mekel, is that if the lechi can only be seen from the outside, not from the inside, it's still going to operate as a lechi. We are now continuing in the Gemara. We're on Yudam and Aleph. We are about two-thirds of the way down at the two dots, and the Gemara now moves to the discussion of the opening of the Mavui in terms of its width. We're going back to the Mishnah, and now we're moving on to the next point of the Mishnah, V'haracha me'eser yimat. The Mishnah says is that if the opening of the Mavui is anything greater than 10 amos, so it has to be minimized because it's no longer can be viewed as a Pesach. Amar Abaye, Tanava Racha Me'eser Yimat, and Rabbi Yehuda Armeinu Tzarech Lamayet. So now, does Rabbi Yehuda disagree with the Tanakam of our Mishnah? In terms of height, the answer is unequivocally yes. We saw that together in the first Mishnah. where if the height of the korah is greater than 20 amos, so the chachamim of our Mishnah say it has to be lowered. Rav Yehuda says it does not have to be lowered. And we spent a lot of time in the beginning of the Masechta, Dav Beis, Dav Gimel, exploring what is the basis of the Shita Rav Yehuda. What about the width? So we don't hear anything about a disagreement on the width in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says, going all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, the Harachah Me'asar Amos, Yima, V'im Yeshlo Tzuras HaPesach, Alfa Pishu Harachah Me'asar Amos, Ein Tzorach Lamayit. The only thing the Mishnah says regarding the width is that it cannot exceed 10 Amos. The Rav Yehuda is silent about the width. Now, this should sound somewhat familiar because this is not the first time we're bringing this up in terms of Rav Yehuda and his position regarding the width. The Gemara already discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. On Daf Beis, on Daf Gimel, the Gemara entertained the idea that Rav Yehuda is going to disagree regarding the width as well. And if I could just jar our memories, why did the Gemara suggest that? Even though in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda was quiet regarding the width, is that part of the Gemara's thought process is, where is the source of this halacha of height being 20 amos, width being 10 amos? So at a point in time, we thought that its sourcing is based on the entrance to the Mishkan, which is a Pesach, which the Torah describes as a Pesach, as an entrance. And so, which entrance are we talking about? The entrance of the Heichal, the entrance of the Ulam. The Heichal's entrance is 20 amos high, 10 amos wide. We thought that that was the basis of it. And Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, was of the position that we're looking at the entrance of the Ulam, which is 40 amos high, 20 amos wide. So if that's the source, so then clearly he's allowing for more height, up to 40 amos, and he's allowing for more width, up to 20 amos. Now, if you also remember, eventually the Gemara concluded that that's not the source of Rav Yehuda. But at least over there, the Gemara certainly entertained the idea that Rav Yehuda would allow for greater width. Now what we're coming all the way back to that discussion, and now what we're noting over here in this Braisa is that Rav Yehuda allows for greater width. Meaning, we don't know what the source of Rav Yehuda is, and if I can remind all of us, we learned earlier in the Masechta, eventually for Rav Yehuda, what's the source? The source is that an entrance for Rav Yehuda is just simply anything that functions as an entrance. Look at the big palaces, said Rav Yehuda earlier in the Masechta, taking us all the way back to Daf Gimel. Look at the big palaces. Those big palaces, so their entrances are huge. Their heights can be greater than 20 amos. The width can be greater than 10 amos. And so there is no, he's not learning it from the entrance of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, anyway, coming back now to our discussion. So we have a brace over here that says it clearly, that Rav Yehuda says that if the width of the entrance of the Mavu is greater than 10 amos, so it does not require minimization. Ve'ad kama, now is Rav Yehuda have any limits whatsoever? So, Sabar Rav Acha Kameh Rav Yosef LeMeimar, Ashosh Yisrei Amah Vishlish. So the Gemara right now is going to be spending a moment, even though it's interesting, it's not the halacha. We don't follow like Rav Yehuda, we follow like the Tanakama, where the width of the entrance can be no greater than 10 amos. But the Gemara would like to see if we can construct an argument, what would be the limits of width according to Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara right now proposes 13 amos and a third. Seems to be an arbitrary number. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, yeah, but we're going to be learning it based on the entrances of the walls created for the wells. Now, in order to understand this, just a brief introduction, this is going to be the second parak of Erevin. Second parak of Erevin introduces us to an interesting leniency, which is that for the Ole Regalim, for the people making Alila Regal, they're doing that three times a year, so they're going to be on a journey, right, going to Yerushalayim for every Yontif. And so when traveling, so they're going to be stopping overnight by a well. They're going to be stopping overnight by a well. They're sometimes going to have to stop over Shabbos. Excuse me. They're going to have to sometimes stop over the course of a Shabbos by a well. The well is a Rishus HaYachin. The area around the well is a Rishus HaRabim. So this is going to pose a challenge on Shabbos. How can I go and draw water from the well on Shabbos? So the well itself is a Rishus HaYachin. And the area that they're standing in, the Rishus HaRabim, you can't draw from the well on Shabbos. So what are you going to do? You're going to create walls around the well? That's going to be very hard just while you're traveling. So for the traveler, the Chachamim put together an interesting leniency, which is just simply put four brackets in the four corners, and now you have an enclosed area, just with these four brackets. And we're going to be discussing in much greater detail when we get to the second parak, how wide these brackets have to be, how much open space can be between these brackets in order for this leniency to work. Right now, or suffice to say that there is an opinion out there that the area between the brackets is 13 amos and a third. How we arrive at those numbers, so we'll wait together to get to the second parak, where we're going to understand that much better. And the Gemara now is going to make the following argument. The kav chomer mi pasta beiros uma pasta beiros shehi tarta ben parts meruba ala omeid. Now consider for pasta beiros a tremendous leniency was given, in that when you're looking at this in its totality, you're going to have more air space than wall space, and yet it's going to be mutter. So a tremendous leniency is given by pasta beiros. So lo itarta ben yosem yishlosh esrei amos v'shlish, and meanwhile the maximum gap that's allowed is 13 1/3. So, mavui shelo itarta bo parts meruba ala omeid. Now, for a standard mavui, which we do not allow omeid, parts meruba ala omeid, meaning the mavui has to have more wall than airspace. So, ein odin shelo itatir bo yosem shlosh esrei amos v'shlish. So, the Gemara says, so now, with the mavui, where we don't have this leniency, so therefore, the amount of gap cannot exceed 13 1/3. Now, the Gemara says, now this is an argument, it's a kav v'chomer, and kav v'chomers are logical arguments, and you can poke holes at the logic, and the Gemara says, and we're going to poke a hole right here in the logic. Via no sentence, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So, pase be'raush, yitarta behem parts meruba la'omeid. So, lo tatir behem yosem yishlosh esrei amos v'shlish. Mavu shelo yitarta behem parts meruba la'omeid. So, tatir behem yosem yishlosh esrei amos v'shlish. As far as the logic is concerned, here's how we can argue the logic in the exact opposite direction. Meaning, for pase be'raush, we're already starting with a tremendous leniency, which is that we're allowing these brackets to serve as an enclosure, even though when all said and done, I have more airspace than wall. So over there, so we need to balance, meaning now that we're operating over there with such a tremendous leniency, so we're going to balance it with the fact that we're going to limit the amount of airspace. Over here with a mavui, where I start off not with a tremendous leniency, meaning the mavui has to have more wall than airspace. So over here, maybe the gap that is going to be at the opening of the mavui can far exceed 13 1/3 amos. That's one way to poke a hole at the argument. Inami, or the Gemara says, or I'll tell you what, we can also poke another hole in terms of the logic, and that is li'idachi, so we can actually go in the other direction. So pasta be'ra'os, da'akilta be'chad kula, akal behu kula achrina. Look, by pasta be'ra'os, clearly the chachamim were dispensing leniencies. They were dispensing kulas. So over there, so we'll be makel on the idea that there could be more airspace than wall. And we're also going to be makel in terms of how wide a gap can it be? 13 1/3. But over here, mavui, klal lo. But by the mavui, we're not dispensing any kulas. And not on the topic of parts omed al ha, amud omed al ha parts. And not on the topic of the width of the gap. Meaning 13 1/3, maybe just simply too much, too big a leniency. So if the entire distance of 13 1/3 is based on an argument, based on the heter of pase beiros, the Gemara says, look, you can argue, but you can also counter argue. So the kav v'chomer is not going to get us to any kind of a number in terms of what are the limits of Rebbe Yehuda. So simply summarized, for Rebbe Yehuda, who allows for a width for a Pesach to be greater than 10 amos, is there a limit according to Rebbe Yehuda? So the answer is we don't know. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Tani Levi, continuing now in the Gemara. Mavushi Rachav Esrei Mama. So now we're going back to the Shita of the Chachamim, which is that the gap of the entrance of the Mavu can be no greater than 10 Amos. And the Gemara now is going to be discussing for the remainder of today's Daf. And what if it is greater than 10 Amos? So what do you do? So first of all, before we continue in the Gemara, the easy answer to that question is, I'll tell you what you do. You make a wall, and therefore you minimize the entrance to where now it gets to just under 10 Amos. 10 Amos or below 10 Amos. That's what you do. But the Gemara is going to be discussing, halachically speaking, what can be done that is halachically valid and teaching us some of the basic principles regarding walls. So the Gemara is going to start this discussion based on a brisa that was taught by Levi. Mavu shu rechav esrei mama. Know it. Let's say the mavu in its width, in its entrance, is a total of 20 amas wide, which is 10 amas too wide. So what do you do? Know it's kind of emtsi asav v'dio. So he over here proposes the following as a creative solution, and that is put a vertical beam right in the center of that mavui, breaking up the 20 into two entrances of 10 and 10. So hu tanila vu amrla deina lachikos mishnah. Now Levi taught the brisa,
And then Levi himself concluded, but I don't think that is good. It is not a good way to actually reduce the entrance. Now, the reason why it's not good, we're going to see based on the upcoming Gemara. And that is that that pole really cannot serve as, it can be viewed as the end of the entrance of one side and the end of the entrance on the other side. There's just too much air around it. There's too much airspace around it. We're going to get to there a little bit later on this morning. Igadami now in a slightly different version. Amar Shmuel Mishmei Delevi Ein Alachiko Osa Mishnah. Okay, it's basically the same point, but over here in the second version, is Shmuel quoting Levi as saying that the Halacha doesn't follow like this Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, now, we know what the Brisa suggested. We also know Levi and Shmuel's feeling about the Brisa's conclusion. So what do you do then? So Amar Shmuel, Umishmei Delevi, so Shmuel now quotes Levi as saying, as now we turn to the top of the Amud Beis of and Daf Yud, Ose Paskavo Asara B'meshech Arba Amos, Umamidu La'arko Shal Mavli. So here's what you're going to do. What you're going to do is you're going to have a wall. It's going to be a post. And it's going to be 10 amos high. Let's do that better. 10 tfachim high. And it's going to go interior to the mavui of 4 amos. And now, umamidu la'arko shel mavui. And you put it along the length of the mavui. Again, if you have a picture over here, you can actually see this with clarity if you're looking at the picture. Now over here, what have we basically done? We took this large mavui and we basically turned it into 2 mivo'os. By having now a center wall going now through the length of the mavui, so you've taken this mavui, which is just simply too wide, and now you've turned it into 2 mivo'os. Now clearly over here, there's a lot of room between the end of this post and the back wall of the mavui. And there is a lot of discussion, and I'm just only going to raise awareness, but we're not going to discuss it. There's a lot of discussion regarding how much is allowable space between the end of this post and the back wall. Okay, and because possibly this mavui could be viewed as that U-shaped mavui that we discussed not so long ago in the Gemara, mavui akum, and if in fact it's going to be viewed as a mavui akum, so we learned the limits of a mavui akum where it can no longer be viewed as a mavui akum, right, where that bend is more than 10 amos. Okay, anyway, there's a lot to discuss over here. We only are scratching the surface. In the meantime, however, that is a proposal made by both Levi and Shmuel, in which now we have solved for the problem. Meaning when the entrance is 20 amos, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put a wall lengthwise, dividing the mavui, and it's going to go 4 amos into this mavui, dividing it successfully into 2 separate mavos, and the Gemara says that's one way to solve the problem. Inami k'derev Yehuda, dam Rav Yehuda, mavui shu rechav 15 amos. Another proposal is that of Rav Yehuda, and that is that if I have a mavui which is 15 amos wide, obviously 5 amos too many, so marchik shtei amos v'ose pashalosh amos. So according to Rav Yehuda, here's what you're going to do. You obviously, if you made five amos of wall along the side, obviously that'd be perfect. But what Rav Yehuda argues is you don't need actual 5 amos of wall. 3 amos of wall would be sufficient. And put that just at a 2 amma distance from one of the sides of the mavui. And now what I have created, halakhically now, is 5 ammas of wall. 3 ammas of actual wall. And the 2 ammas now are just simply going to be viewed as now just another smaller entrance. But that would be sufficient. And so now what the Gemara is going to be discussing for the remainder of today's daf is why did he specifically give the numbers of 2 and 3? Meaning, look, we're looking to fill in 5 amos on the side. And what he says you can do is make a beam, a board of 3 amos, or put it away from the end by 2 amos, and that's enough to create a significant enough wall for the side. So now I've reduced the main entrance to 10 amos, and now it all checks out. The Gemara wants to know, why didn't he give other proposals? The amai, and so the Gemara is going to discuss. Yase pas ama umechsa, v'yarchit shtei amos, v'yase pas ama umechsa. So the Gemara says, why do you propose that from the side of these 5 amos that we need to now fill in, go a ama and a half of beam, followed then by a 2 ama gap, followed by an ama and a half of beam, and shouldn't that be good enough? Now the truth of the matter is, in terms of what have we gained. So I guess we don't need a beam as wide as 3 amos now. But the Gemara now notes the reason why he didn't give that is for a principled reason. Shema mina, the Gemara says, we can conclude from here that omen merubah laparts mishtei ruchos lo have omed. Look, in order to create wall, I need more omed than parts. I need more wall than airspace. And over here, if each of the beams was 1.5, and in between them was 2 amos, so I can only compare the airspace to one of its sides, not both of its sides. Meaning to say that if I compare it to both of its sides, obviously the collective amount of wall, 1.5 and 1.5 is 3, which exceeds the airspace of 2. But if the halacha does not allow me to do that, and that is compared to both of its sides, but only one of its sides, so I have the airspace of 2, and against that I have the 1.5 of one of the poles, and that now just simply means that I have more parutz than omein. That's why Rabbi Yehuda didn't give that scenario. Now, admittedly, by the way, if you are looking at the same thing I'm looking at, there's this gaping wide gap of 10 amos that is just to the other side of it, but that doesn't bother us because that's a Pesach, meaning that's just simply going to be viewed as an entrance. For the 5 remaining amos, we need to fill them in, and fill them in using the principle of Omed Merubah Laparis. And now what the Gemara is concluding is that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda did not go 1.5 wall, 2 airspace, 1.5 wall, is because we don't allow a comparison with 2 of its sides, but only 1 of its sides. So the Gemara says, okay, that is a principle, but you don't have to conclude that. Lo la meim lecha, have omed v'shani hacha, da'asi avir, da'haigisa, v'avir, da'haigisa, mevatalei. The Gemara says that no, maybe in general, you can contrast the airspace along both of its sides. Here it may be different. Now, why is it different? For the reason that I touched on just moments earlier. Because if I look at that 1.5 wall that stands in between 2 airspaces, on one side, 2 amas of airspace. On the other side, 10 amas of airspace. So then it just simply is going to be negated by the gaping airspaces on both of its sides. So the Gemara says, so here may be different. V'yasepas ama, v'yarchik ama, v'yasepas ama, v'yarchik ama, v'yasepas ama. So the Gemara says, well, why not do the following? And that is, say that in order to fill in the 5 ama gap on the side, put in a 1 ama beam, then airspace of an ama. Another ama beam, airspace of an ama, and a 3rd ama beam. And so now with our 3 actual ama beams, and also the 2 airspace gaps in between, so now we have covered the 5. Why didn't he give that example? So the Gemara says it must be for a principled answer. So the Gemara suggests, Shema Mina, Omed Kaparetz Aser. Oh, because this is Omed Kiparetz, meaning that when we say that there has to be more wall than airspace, meaning there has to be a greater sign in between. The Omed is Meruba Alaparetz. Over here, if I have an equal sign between them, so that's not going to be good enough. And the Gemara says, can that not be a conclusion? So the Gemara says, Lola meim lecha, motiv v'shani hacha, da'asi avir, da'haigisa, u'da'haigisa, u'mevatalei. So the Gemara says, same thing over here. No, we don't have to conclude that way. And the reason why we don't have to conclude that way is simply because, once again, when I get to that last post of an amma, on one side I have an amma of airspace, on the other side I have 10 ammas of airspace, and it just simply is negated. So v'yarchik amma v'yase pas amma u'mechsa. So the Gemara over here makes one more suggestion. And that is, why not take 2 beams of 1.5 and take the first one and an amma away from the wall. Take the second one and amma away from the first post. And now what we have together, let me just read inside the Gemara. Yarchik amma v'yase pas amma u'mechsa. V'yarchik amma v'yase pas amma u'mechsa. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda make that suggestion? Now over here, we have success. Meaning, we now have more wall than airspace, and we didn't need a beam of 3 amas. Why not give that case? So the Gemara says, Enachinami. Gemara says, yeah, you could have done that. That would have been fine. V'kulehai lo yitrichu rabbanan. But the Chachamim didn't require you to do that. It's a lot of tircha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that case in of itself would be fine. V'lechush, we'll finish up today with one more question and answer. V'lechush dil mashavik pischa rabba v'ayo b'bischa zuta. So the Gemara says, okay, but now that, look, for these 5 amas, so we filled it in. Not in its totality, but by putting a post of 3 amma post, and we moved it away from the side of the mavoi by 2 amas. So the Gemara says, but basically what you've done is you've created a second entrance. V'lechush dil mashavik pischa rabba v'ayo b'pischa zuta. Shouldn't we be concerned that people are no longer going to be using the main entrance and using the side entrance? And what's the problem with that? So I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is, I mean, in a moment, The Gemara is going to give an answer. But before we get to the answer, let's understand why this would be such a significant issue. Because remember, in order to carry within the mavui, so it needs to be adjusted. What's the adjustment? By putting something that is discernible along its entrance, a lechi or a kora, so that people know, oh, this is where the mavui ends and this is where the Rishus HaRabim begins. Once we created a secondary entrance, so now the lechi and the kora, how did that help? Because now that people are using that second entrance and exit, so now we no longer have a way of notifying people. There's no longer a hecker that is serving people along the entrance and exit. So that's the question. That's why it becomes a problem. Now, obviously, and I'm not so sure if this is so clear cut, but if I put a separate lechi or a kora along that second entrance, so presumably it would be fine. But the Gemara now is assuming that our main entrance still is our main entrance, and that's the one that was adjusted. But if we're creating now another opening, two amas of opening, plenty of room for people to go in and out. So if we create another opening, so haven't we basically lost our hecker of our lechi and the kora in the main entrance? That's the Gemara's question. The response, Amar Vada Ba Masnam, Chazaka Ein Adam Minich Pesach Gadol, V'Nichnas Pesach Katan. It's just, that's not human behavior. Human behavior is that we don't leave the main entrance to go to a side entrance. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we discussed this just a couple of days ago. Umayshnam the Rabbi Ami the Rabbi Asi. Remember the case of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. This takes us back to Daf Hey, where they invalidated the lechi or the kora in a scenario where I had another entrance going off on the side of the mavui. Right, there was wall, and then after the wall there was another entrance on the side of the mavui, and they negated it. So the Gemara says, Hasam kamemai bi'ilucho, hachalo kamemai bi'ilucho. The Gemara says, yeah, but the cases are different. Over there, when you had another entrance that's going off to the side, so for many people in that mavui, that would serve to them as a shortcut. So for sure they're going to help themselves to that entrance because it provides for them less steps to travel. That's a shortcut. However, over here we're having a discussion in which you have the main entrance and you have the side entrance, and it's both at the front of the mavui. Doesn't really represent a shortcut for anybody. Nobody's going to ditch the large entrance and go through the side entrance, especially when it doesn't really, again, doesn't benefit you, for you. It's not providing any kind of benefit. Okay, that's going to bring us now to the end. We still have more daf to go, but we will we'll finish it up tomorrow. We basically covered the main parts of today's daf, and it gives us a fantastic way to review. Our first topic of discussion over the course of this morning was near Rebbe Chutz Rishab Mibifnim, where the lechi is discernible only from the outside, not from the inside. And there, the Gemara had an extensive discussion in terms of whether that is going to be considered a lechi or not. And the length of the discussion really revolved around a Mishnah of Chatzar Gedolah, Chatzar Katana, knowing the dimensions of Chatzar Gedolah, Chatzar Katana, 11 Amos, 10 Amos, and a lot of analysis, meaning what exactly is the construct of that scenario, and what does that scenario actually prove? And the Gemara concluded that really what it showed us after careful analysis is that if the lechayim are only discernible from the outside, not from the inside, it simply doesn't work as a lechi. That was the conclusion. And what was the halachic conclusion of the entire discussion? Is that nirim v'chutz v'shavim mibifnim is in fact going to be considered a lechi. That is the Gemara's conclusion. Ad noted the Gemara that even though our analysis brought us to the conclusion that it should be aser, nevertheless, the halachas that were makel, the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Chiya says so, and so therefore we're going to be makel like Rabbi Chiya. We then went on to discuss what about the entrance, the width of the entrance of the mavli. Can't exceed 10 amos. That we learned in our Mishnah. First of all, Rabbi Yehuda argues on that. What are the limits of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara tried to make an argument that the limits of Rabbi Yehuda would be 13 and a third, based on Pasei Beiros. The Gemara says, inconclusive. The Gemara then went on to discuss a number of scenarios in which our Pesach is greater than 10 amos, and how could it be corrected? So the first creative way of correcting it is basically taking the mavui and splitting it into two mavos, taking a wall and bringing it down the center lengthwise into the mavui. You only need to bring it 4 amos into the mavui, and that would be a way of taking this larger mavui, making it into 2 separate mavos, each one having an acceptable Pesach of 10 amos. Another way to do it is obviously to put a side post along the side. Now, let's say, for example, the mavui was 15 amos. Make a post of 5 amos. Or you can make a 2-amah gap and 3 amos on the side. Why did Rabbi Yehuda give that specific scenario? A lengthy discussion in the Gemara based on the principles of Omen Meruba al Haparis. In terms of where, in order for a wall to be a wall, you need to have more wall than airspace. And questions of when I need more wall than airspace, do I have to put a side-by-side comparison of it to one of its sides? Can I do it? Can I compare it to both of its sides? Another issue of what if it's equal, Omid and Paritz? Is that going to work? So a lot of principled issues come up based on why Rabbi Huda specifically gave the example of 3 and 2. Adkan.